From the wind that lifts her perfume through the air, I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. I can't help it. I'm thinking about the Beach Boys. Been thinking about them all day today. So we had to play a little Good Vibrations because I have a very special guest in the studio this morning. This is really cool, y'all. If you are tempted to go have lunch or do something else, I'm going to tell you, don't do it. Stick with us because today I have Christine Emmanuel with us. Christine Broderick Emmanuel. She is the author of The Westcott Story, which is the enduring spirit of our American family spanning 400 years. We have a writer in the studio. I'm so excited. Good morning.
Good morning, Meg.
So happy to have you here, Christine. This is amazing. Tell me about your book.
Well, I can't wait to tell you about it. There's so much to tell about this story.
Yes.
The story, the Westcott story, the enduring spirit of an American family spanning 400 years, is a story of my maternal lineage. And it's 400 years, 14 generations.
Wow.
The Westcotts came to America they came in 1635, 1636. But nine of my lineals arrived from England in the year 1630 that I discovered through my research.
This is fascinating to me because I've been kind of lazy. I did the ancestry DNA test, mm-hmm. kind of found out where I was from, and that was the end of my investigation.
And that's it, right? Right.
But clearly, you had some other resources.
Well, let me tell you the genesis of the story.
Yes.
It was in 2020, the throes of the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
I had just finished editing the book that Britt Landrum Sr. wrote about his 50-year-old company called Working a Better Way, the 50-year history of Landrum HR.
Right.
Spent 17 months on it. The very month that he self-published, I got a phone call from a woman in Walnut Creek, California. Her name was Susie Newcomb. She told me that her husband and my mother were first cousins, never heard of this name before, ever. And she was aging, and she was so enthralled by her husband's lineage that she hired a private investigator to find someone, a descendant of the Westcotts,
mm-hmm.
to take possession of a motherload, genealogical motherload. She found my brother in Cincinnati, who referred her to me. Four boxes literally appeared at my doorstep.
Oh, my goodness.
I knew nothing about these people before I started writing.
Wow. So what was in the box? I mean, just records? And
well, the most significant were four books that had been written by family historians in 1886, 1907, 1932, and 1991. They were just, I mean, there was something about this family if people are continuing to write about them. And it wasn't just genealogical, although it was certainly full of that information, but the stories.
Yeah.
Unbelievable stories that go back. I went 14 generations in America. I went back 22 generations overall to the year 1234 when my 17 times great-grandfather was born in Devonshire, England.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing
that
you can track that far.
It is.
Especially because it's not digital.
Right.
It's not something that you can Google.
Exactly. That's right.
This was like digging through
Although,
the paper.
There are stories as I began my research, and of course I did 1,000 Google searches every day,
mm-hmm.
and discovered there are articles that are being written to this day by people who lived 300, 200 years ago.
Interesting.
And in addition, in that box, there was so much material in there. But the other thing that was instrumental in writing was a pedigree chart that my mother's second cousin, their mothers were grandmothers, never heard of him before either, Dick Neergard. He did this pedigree chart in his retirement years, like I endeavored to do my book in my retirement years. And it was like 9 pages that were taped together, 8.5 by 11, and you unfolded, unfolded, unfolded. And who are these people? So I had to spend time developing my own maternal lineage.
Mm-hmm.
And once I had that, what am I going to do with it? I had 3 choices, one store, one digitize, and one just start writing. So, yeah. And that's what I opted to do.
So I have this image almost of a big room with, you know, sticky notes everywhere. You know, that's the chart of trying to do the lineage of.
Oh, it was so hard.
Wow.
So hard.
I can't even imagine. Well, and you have been already kind of getting around town and doing some of book signings and things. So you have two volumes, actually.
I do have two volumes. When I opted to self-publish, I did not have success in getting a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to get this thing done. So let me do it on my own. I asked the company in New Zealand who did the interior design, the layout, and the book cover design, try to get this into one book. And he came back, and it was like 750 pages. And I'm like, unacceptable. Who's going to read a book that long? So I opted to, and I had a natural breakpoint, actually, in the manuscripts. It was very fortuitous.
Mm-hmm.
And so I opted for two volumes. So it's about 750 pages. And I would just tell you that the first volume mm-hmm. is the first nine generations. They were all surnamed Westcott at birth. And then my grandmother, nine generation, ended there. And I wove history into every page, beginning on page one. So it takes you through from 1630 to Civil War and Reconstruction era. And the second volume picks up there, the two world wars, and ultimately leads to 2024 when the book was copywritten, even though it was published January 7, 2025.
Wow. Well, and I've already had a chance to read through a couple of the reviews, and I was looking at some of the different stories. And what's fascinating about it is I guess none of us realize, especially when you've had people that have been in this country from the very beginning, mm-hmm. and their role in different things that have happened. So it was fascinating to me, and we'll talk about it in a minute. I got especially fascinated by the Salem witch trials mm-hmm. because there was a connection there. Mm-hmm. But also being a part of how many different states in New England?
They were settled in, they arrived, of course, in Massachusetts mm-hmm. initially.
Right.
And they, from Massachusetts, went to Rhode Island and Connecticut. And from there, they went to New York, Long Island, South Jersey, and Pennsylvania, which is where I'm from, Pittsburgh.
So there was influence there of businesses that started.
Absolutely.
Neighborhoods, all the way up. I mean, cities, towns. Yep. I mean, it's fascinating.
And these people were so connected with historical figures throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
And little did I know when I opted to weave history in very intentionally from page one that, you know, that Pocahontas, Sir Walter Raleigh,
yeah, that
Thomas
was the
Booker,
one.
Whatever.
Tell us the Sir Walter Raleigh story real quick. That was interesting.
He was, Stukely Westcott was the brother of my nine times great-grandfather.
Uh-huh.
The two brothers and another came to America a year apart, 1635-36. I need to go back to, you asked about Sir Louis Stukely.
That's the one, yeah.
He became a knight under James I in 1603. He went on to become vice admiral of Devonshire, where the Westcotts and related families had a long history.
Mm-hmm.
He was related to Sir Walter Raleigh,
a distant relative.
And I can't get into the story of Sir Walter because we'll be here all day. But evidently, they had a dust-up, and Louis was seeking revenge mm-hmm. against his distant cousin when King James said to Stukely, find Walter Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, and he said, oh, everything's going to be good. I'm going to take care of you. And in fact, he ultimately ended up being beheaded.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yes. Thanks to my 11 times great-grandfather.
Thanks, cousin. Wow. See, that's the part of this book that I find so fascinating. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to read it, but did get a chance to read some of the clips from it and the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So I love history. It's one of the reasons I always loved Gone with the Wind,
yep.
because it was such an interesting story of the Civil War mm-hmm. that Margaret Mitchell
sure.
had spent such a long time basing it, a lot of the history and the timeline of that book
yes.
with facts.
Yes.
So I found that really interesting. So this reminds me of that.
Yeah,
not quite as dramatic, but some of the characters that you talk about are as dramatic as Scarlet.
Some of them are really, really dramatic. And I'll tell you, I did not like history growing up at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these people brought history alive to me. And it's so interesting now, 4.5 years after getting it published, every time I hear something history related, it sparks my interest. You know,
once you're hooked, then
I am hooked. I think I'm hooked forever.
All right, we're talking with Christine Emmanuel about her book, The Westcott Story, Volumes 1 and 2. If you have any questions for her about the book, you can text them in at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, but then we'll be right back with Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And if you can't tell already, I'm pretty excited about our guests this morning. We have Christine Emmanuel here talking about her book, The Westcott Story, two volumes spanning over 400 years of the enduring spirit of an American family. This is amazing to me. And so we just talked about how the original family came over in the 1600s into Boston. They were all in New England. Eventually, over that 400 years, came to our area in Florida and Pensacola. So you're That's here right. in Pensacola.
Yep.
So maybe we need to make that connection for our listeners so
Absolutely.
They can understand why this is so relevant to us.
Yes. Be happy to.
Okay.
So I'll tell you that my four times great-grandfather was James Diamond Westcott, and he was in New Jersey. He was a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And he published during the period of the stormy conflict during the presidency of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson.
That's a little before our time.
That was a little before our time, absolutely. Yes, he was around 1775 and on. Anyway, he ended up becoming a state senator of New Jersey and then for 10 years Secretary of State in New Jersey when there were contested results of elections. It brings back history, as history does repeat itself time and time again in the story, as I found out.
Wow.
Anyway, he had 15 children.
Oh, my goodness.
One of them, my three times great-grandfather, Hampton, who happened to be in Florida. He worked the anti-piracy West Indies. He was a Navy midshipman. And at one point, he ended up at Pensacola Navy Yard, and he took a break here. And so that was kind of interesting because I lived downtown, and I can just imagine him walking on the streets of historic Pensacola.
Wow.
But he had a brother, and that's more significant to Florida, who was in New Jersey, and he was brought down by Andrew Jackson in 1830. And he became Secretary of the Territory of Florida and acting governor. You can imagine the governor's traveling all the time on horseback, and so he filled in for him at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what was his name?
His name was James Diamond Westcott Jr.
Okay.
And he was a House representative when we were a territory, and he was involved in the runaway slaves and the Trail of Tears and all that horrible time in history. But he was right here. He's also involved with the Seminoles, of course, in Tallahassee, which is where he resided and had his family. Very interesting background. But he had a son, James Diamond Westcott III. Well, let me tell you about him.
Okay.
He was raised in Tallahassee, and he became the youngest jurist ever of the Florida Supreme Court when he was installed. And when he died, and he wrote like 267 opinions over maybe 18 years that he was on the bench.
Oh my gosh.
And that was during Civil War, Reconstruction era. Of course, a lot was going on at that time. He died without children or a wife, and he willed his estate to Florida State University. Well, guess what? The administration building, the signature building on campus, is the James Diamond Westcott
building.
I got my MBA at FSU.
Did you?
And I didn't know that the Westcott building was the Westcott.
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
That was a really fun discovery among many, many others in the process of writing.
Yeah, no kidding. That is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. It was cool.
I hope you went and took a picture in front of the building at some point.
You bet I did. Recently, I got a tour of the Florida Supreme Court, and of course, his picture is prominently displayed there. So,
no kidding.
Yeah.
That is so amazing.
Yeah, it
wow.
is.
Wow. If you've got a question for Christine, we've got her here. She is talking about her book that's been published, The Westcott Story, The Enduring Spirit of an American Family Spanning 400 Years. And if you have a question, just text it in, 850-437-1620. I'm absolutely intrigued by this.
Meg, if I can add one more thing about the Florida connection.
Yes.
That is, as I told you, James Diamond Westcott Sr. had 15 children, and Hampton, my grandfather, and James, too. Well, their brother, John, was brought to Florida by his brother, James, and he had such an interesting background. He was went to West Point at age 15. I mean, these people started so young. And but he had some medical issues, but he developed a specialty in yellow fever. And he ended up being a House representative when his brother was brought in as one of the first two senators of Florida when we became a state in 1845.
Wow.
And John Westcott ended up relocating to St. Augustine, and he had been a surveyor general of the territory of Florida. So when we became a state, he knew a lot about land as a surveyor, and he started up a company in St. Augustine, the Florida Coast Line, Canal, and Transportation Company. And he ended up doing the surveying that ultimately led to the canals that were created, and ultimately to the intercoastal waterway along the entire eastern seaboard in Florida. And I've discovered there's a building, the Westcott Bed and Breakfast on Bayfront in St. Augustine, that's named after him. And the city of St. Augustine built this house for him in the year 1880 in reverence to all the work that he had done.
Wow.
So that's another Florida connection.
This must have been such a fun journey. Mm-hmm. I can imagine not sleeping.
I didn't.
You know, just being up all night looking at all these documents.
Someone asked me, is there, how many times did you want to just stop? And I'm like, zero.
No, because we get to one and the next one leads to the next one.
Yes.
To the
Every story, I mean, these are just a few of many that are really talked about in the book.
Okay, well, we are talking with Christine Emanuel about her new book, The Westcott Story. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes. She's got a couple events coming up that I think you would enjoy attending, so we'll tell you all about those when we come back with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And if you've got a question for her, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. We have Christine Emanuel here talking about her book, The Westcott Story, The Enduring Spirit of an American Family Spanning 400 Years. You have a couple of events coming up this week, so we only have a few minutes left, but I definitely wanted folks to know where they could come and meet you.
Wonderful. I hope that your audience certainly considers that. I will be speaking this evening at Bodacious Bookstore and Cafe. 4 to 6 is when this event is scheduled. I'll have remarks and a book signing at that time, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity. As well, on June 26, I will be speaking at Voices of Pensacola, hosted by the University of West Florida Historic Trust. That is going to go from 5:30 to 7:30, I believe. And I've got a couple of book signings in Alabama at the Book Exchange in Foley on July 12th and the Page and Palette Bookstore in Fairhope on July 26th.
Excellent. So is there any way people can find out about you? You have a website or a blog?
I do.
Or that kind of thing?
And a great deal of information there. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. It's www.christinebemanuel.com, and there is a tag that says happenings,
mm-hmm.
and it changes often, so check regularly.
So we can track you down. And where can we find the book?
You can find the book on Amazon.com and at Bodacious Bookstore downtown on Intendencia, not to be confused with the Bodacious on Olive, Bodacious Olive
right,
on
this
Palafox.
Is a different spot.
That's
yes.
correct.
Okay, so you're going to be there today.
I am.
From
I am. 4 to 6.
Excellent. Okay. Yep. So we did have a text that came in, and the question was, how do I start? So my guess is they mean if they wanted to do their own family
Well,
history.
The way I think I would start is with your autobiographical sketch. Write down something about yourself, and then branch out from there to different family members. And most important is to ask questions of people now before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
So many people say that they regret that they didn't ask, and they surely should. And, you know, if you happen to have children, grandchildren, encourage the youngsters to develop an interest in their family by writing their lineage, about their lineage. And mm-hmm. I think that would be great as well.
It's very helpful. My brother-in-law did that. He interviewed some of the great-grandparents and put it on paper.
Great.
It was great.
And okay. We all should. We all have stories to tell.
All right. Thank you so much for Christine. We could be talking about this for 2 hours.
Yes,
I know.
So, and I could. Thank you so much,
in.
Meg.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate you.
Again, your website
is www.christinebemanuel.com.
And you'll be at the Bodacious Bookshop today for a book signing and a lecture at 4 to 6.
That's correct.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This
so
is
long.
Pep Talk. We'll be back again with you tomorrow morning at 9.